Welcome back to Overdue. I'm Mrs. Watts, your Annex Librarian.
And I'm Coach Hill, your Main Building Librarian. In today's episode, we kick down the door.
All right, so we're going to start this episode off by talking about our Anthony Doerr novels, right?
Anthony Doerr. It's the theme of our episode.
So this happened because I purchased Cloud Cuckoo Land.
Yes.
You saw it. You wanted to read it. And I said, I've never read his first one,
the other one
that we have, All the Light We Cannot See. And so it's kind of an Anthony Doerr fest.
Right. Which is a good book also.
It was incredible.
I'm curious to hear you talk about it because I've read it before.
Well, I was interested too because one of our classes has read it and one of our teachers is passionate about it. And so, and then obviously hearing you be passionate about something, I'm like, okay, I've got to check it out. So, it was an incredible novel. Like, first of all, just the way it's written.
The writing style.
Something over like 200 very, very short chapters, like a page and a half, 2 pages. And I love that pace and just kind of the feel that it sets for when you're reading. So I love the way he wrote. But it's set in France during World War II when it's beginning to be occupied by Germany. And so it focuses in on this 6-year-old girl who actually like loses her sight. She lives just with her father who works at the Museum of Natural History as a locksmith. And honestly, just thinking about the depth of the characters and the plot line, I'm like thinking it over again as we're talking about it, and it just blows me away, all the details. But this 6-year-old girl or 6-year-old little girl, I don't want to say her name wrong, but so I'm just going to call her Marie.
Marie L.
She lives with her father in Paris during this time and becomes blind. So her father tries to help her adjust to this new way of life by building her small replicas of the city so she can get her way around. And so it kind of creates this passion in her for reading. She learns how to read in Braille, and then also for like solving puzzles that he builds, little wooden puzzle boxes. And so that's a really fun aspect of their relationship. And then, becomes really important to the story. Alongside this narrative is Warner, who is an 8-year-old orphan in Germany and, becomes part of the German military because of his skill with math and science and just this natural inclination that started with taking apart and putting together a radio. I mean, these characters, like, I love them. They're incredible. And then the way it all plays out, I just don't even know where to go without giving the story away, but it was an incredible book. Like, I'm curious about Cloud Cuckoo Land. So it's historical fiction, but it's got this magical aspect of it, which
you're talking about mine.
I'm talking about mine.
Okay.
I guess I forgot to mention that the Sea of Flames is this diamond it's blue with a heart of red, and it carries a curse. And the whole novel, you're wondering, does Marie's father, is he holding this diamond, and is the curse following them? And so I completely forgot to mention that because I'm so excited. So yeah, it's like historical fiction with this element of magic, and just it's incredible. I mean, is Cloud Cuckoo Land similar?
Cloud Cuckoo Land has a similar writing style where you're getting these short bits of the journey of the different characters.
Yeah.
And on top of that, Cloud Cuckoo Land is also set in 3 different time periods.
Okay.
So one of the storylines is in 15th century Constantinople during the siege of the city. And you have characters on both sides of that, characters in the city and characters on the outside of the city involved in the siege. Another time period is modern day Idaho. And you have in that plot, you have an elderly man who was a Korean War vet. You get his whole story in the book, and he is now helping direct the children's play. And I'll talk about more of that in a second. But with that, you have this troubled youth who has become sort of an activist, at least in his own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And those paths kind of end up crossing. And then you also have a storyline that is set in the future on a spacecraft headed to a new planet because of the decline of Earth.
Wow.
It takes something like 500 plus years to make this journey. So it's hard for me to say what genre this falls into. I really don't know where it
because
fits. It has
so
elements
heavy.
Of so much.
I mean, it's heavy historical yeah. aspects. If it's like the novel that I read, I mean, it's set in that.
Yeah.
And then just has this, the smallest little elements of yeah. other genres, which makes it so interesting.
So what ties these three storylines across these three time periods together is this old Greek tale where there's a shepherd named Ethon. And he travels to Thessaly, land of magic, to ultimately be turned into a bird and go to this land in the sky where everyone lives in riches. And again, that old kind of silly Greek tale holds the three. It's almost like the there's so many underlying themes and whatnot in the book, but the idea of kind of transcending time, mm-hmm. this tale has such an important role in these three time periods. So the children's play that I referenced in Modern Day Idaho, they're actually acting out this
the Greek tale.
The Greek tale, thank you. And it actually had been translated by the elderly man that I had referenced.
Oh, wow.
And then I don't want to give away how the connections are, because there's even some stronger connections across the time periods.
Yeah.
There's definitely some twists that happen, which I was not expecting. Like, I felt like I knew a little bit of what was going to happen mm-hmm. with some of it, and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I can sit here now, because it's been a few weeks since I finished the book, and I can say confidently that Cloud Cuckoo Land by Anthony Doerr is my favorite book that I have ever read. And so I read your copy that you bought for the library. I'll need to be buying my own personal copy now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really like to get like a blown up like poster size of the cover.
That's awesome.
To hang on the wall. You know, sometimes you read a book and you literally lose track of where you are while you're reading.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sounds a little cliche maybe, but like you become unaware of everything that's happening around you because you are so involved in the story. And I was very much that way with this book.
I think the exciting thing for me, just as like your coworker too, and like I've seen you get excited about books like Elantris and other titles, like really excited, couldn't put them down. And so to imagine you with this book that you confidently say is your favorite, I'm like, man, that is a whole nother level.
Sometimes you read a book and you get a feeling that you just can't describe. Mm-hmm. Like there's literally no words for it. And I had that feeling with this book on the strongest scale that I've ever felt.
That's awesome.
Like literally just unaware of anything that's happening around me because you're just so lost.
Carried away into Cloud Cuckoo Land.
Carried away into Cloud Cuckoo Land.
That is awesome. I mean, for me too, just coming from like an English background, when I stand back and think about all the research that this author had to do to provide these narratives of characters that represent real life in those time periods, I mean, just a commitment to putting together these incredible stories.
My next decision
kind of blows
is,
me away.
Yeah. My next decision is how long do I wait before I read it again?
Okay.
You know, like it's, you got to give it some time.
Yeah.
But it will be read again.
Multiple times. That's exciting.
It was fantastic. I obviously can't recommend it enough.
Yes. I mean,
you know, they say there's a book for everyone, uh-huh. right? Like, and I've read plenty of books that I really, really, really enjoy mm-hmm. and will always recommend to people. And, but this might've been my book.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, they are both. I'm excited to read yours now. But it was incredible.
Yeah. So we're going to give you a quick preview of what we're going to read next. Now mm-hmm. that we've finished our little Anthony Doerr, segment here. But first, I'm thrilled to say that we're going to have our first, book preview by a White House High School student. So stay tuned for that. And on the other side of that, we'll be talking about what we're reading next.
I'm Eli Combs, and this is The Stranger by Albert Camus. From a distance, I could see the small, dark mass of rock surrounded by a blinding halo of light and sea spray. I was thinking of the cool spring behind the rock. I wanted to hear the murmur of its water again, to escape the sun and the strain and the women's tears, and to find shade and rest again at last. But as I got closer, I saw that Raymond's man had come back. He was alone. He was lying on his back with his hands behind his head, his forehead in the shade of the rock, the rest of his body in the sun. His blue overalls seemed to be steaming in the heat, and I was a little surprised. As far as I was concerned, the whole thing was over, and I had gone there without even thinking about it. As soon as he saw me, he sat up a little and put his hand in his pocket. Naturally, I gripped Raymond's gun inside my jacket. Then he lay back again, but without taking his hand out of his pocket. I was pretty far away from him, about 10 meters or so. I could tell that he was glancing at me now and then through half-closed eyes, but most of the time he was just a form shimmering before my eyes in the fiery air. The sound of the waves was even lazier and more drawn out than at noon. It was the same sun, the same light still shining on the same sand as before. For 2 hours the day had stood still. For 2 hours it had been anchored in a sea of molten lead. On the horizon, a tiny steamer went by, and I made out the black dot from the corner of my eye because I hadn't stopped watching the Arab. It occurred to me that all I had to do was turn around and that would be the end of it, but the whole beach, throbbing in the sun, was pressing on my back. I took a few steps toward the spring. The Arab didn't move. Besides, he was still pretty far away. Maybe it was the shadows on his face, but it looked like he was laughing. I waited. The sun was starting to burn my cheeks, and I could feel drops of sweat gathering in my eyebrows. The sun was the same it had been the day I buried Maman, and like then, my forehead especially was hurting me, all the veins in it throbbing under the skin. It was this burning, which I couldn't stand anymore, that made me move forward. I knew that it was stupid, that I wouldn't get the sun off me by stepping forward. But I took a step, one step forward, and this time, without getting up, the Arab drew his knife and held it up to me in the sun. The light shot off the steel, and it was like a long, flashing blade cutting at my forehead. At the same instant, the sweat in my eyebrows dripped down over my eyelids all at once and covered them in a warm, thick film. My eyelids were blinded behind the curtain of tears and salt. All I could feel were the symbols of sunlight crashing down on my forehead and, indistinctly, the dazzling spear flying up from the knife in front of me. The scorching blade slashed at my eyelashes and stabbed at my stinging eyes. That's when everything began to reel. The sea carried up a thick, fiery breath. It seemed to me as if the sky split open from one end to the other to rain down fire. My whole being tensed, and I squeezed my hand around the revolver. The trigger gave. I felt the smooth underside of the butt. And there, in that noise, sharp and deafening at the same time, is where it all started. I shook off the sweat and sun. I knew that I had shattered the harmony of the day, the exceptional silence of a beach where I'd been happy. Then, I fired 4 more times at the motionless body where the bullets lodged without leaving a trace, and it was like knocking 4 quick times on the door of unhappiness.
So like I said, to finish up today, we'll just give you a very quick preview of the next books that we're going to read. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, I'm a good ways into mine already.
Yeah, I just picked mine up.
So I have a little bit of an idea of what's going on here, but I won't talk too much because I know on the next episode we'll talk quite a bit about it. But I am reading A Man Called Uwe by Frederick Bachmann. Uwe is an old grumpy man. he just is. He's an old, grumpy man. He's very black and white. He's overly practical. But as you read this book, you start to realize that, you know, sometimes grumpy people can be viewed as maybe a little bit lifeless. And this book is a good reminder that even the grumpiest of people are full of life.
Mm-hmm.
And have experienced love and loss and everything that everyone else experiences. And so I'll talk more about it when...
Are you enjoying it?
I am enjoying it.
Okay.
I am enjoying it. Like I said, I'm a good ways through, I've got an idea of what's going on here. But it's a good book.
On the flip side of that, so you had started this book already and asked me, you know, do we want to do this for the next episode? So I just went to Goodreads. I love Goodreads. And look for similar novels. And about halfway through that list, I found Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman. So this is a Reese Witherspoon book club novel. It's one of the first purchases I made in this library, like when I took the position.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you've had it for a bit.
I've had it for a bit, and I had picked it up once, and then for whatever reason, didn't ever get started on it, but it's caught my eye for a while. And so when I saw that on the list of similar books, I was excited to pick it up. And so unlike you, I picked it up this morning and have not started it, but I'm looking forward to it. I couldn't tell you anything about it, except it looks like a realistic fiction novel, which is drastically different from what we just read. Yeah, I'm excited to see. It's a bestseller. I'm excited to see what it's about.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about those
on our next episode. It's time for us to check out. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at BDP_library. Check out our YouTube channel, BDP Library, for book talks and blogs, and share us with a friend.
And check back with us every other Wednesday for the next episode of Overdue. Make time to read. Thanks for listening.